This week on the Fifth Trooper podcast.
I have a controversial statement I'm about to make.
Hit it.
I think speeder bikes are the new T47. I think the T47 has surpassed them in the current state of the game.
Welcome to the Fifth Trooper podcast.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Fifth Trooper podcast. My name is Jay Szalansky, and joining me as always is Evan Bolris.
Hey, how's it going?
On today's podcast, we're just going to do a bunch of nonsense.
Slow news week.
Yeah.
Month.
There's a lot of little threads that we're going to pull on, and we'll try to get to. We have a little bit of an outline, but nothing specific that we want to cover today. So
yeah, it's. I'm sure you'll have other casts doing the same thing, where it's just that we haven't had an article in about a month, I think, besides the Bosk one. But yeah, that was all everything we've seen before.
Right.
Because we still have Rebel Veterans, Shore Troopers, and Downed ATSD hasn't been officially spoiled, but I think the other cards that people from Australia put them up there. So we've got, you know, there's just nothing new really going on right now. But we'll get to why, right?
Yeah. So, okay. So we got a little bit of housekeeping. Northeast open. Registration still open. Plenty of spots left. They are going fast, but if you want to get in or if you're putting it off, I need to start making decisions soon as far as like how many tables we're going to have. Yeah. And getting everybody's list together. And there's stuff I need to do. So if you could do me a favor, and register, that'd be great. Or if you're going to register and you're just waiting to get paid or whatever, can you just send me a note so that I can at least,
have a spot saved?
Yeah. Yeah. I have spots saved. So that we just published on Tuesday, we published the order tokens. So yesterday, for those of you listening, check those out. They're on all the Facebook pages and on the Discord channel. And so that's going to be, they turned out pretty good.
Yeah, they turned out real good. You know, we were talking about how we thought the red's going to be a little brighter, pop a little more. But actually, now that I'm looking at it, I prefer the muted.
Yeah,
it's just like more. It looks like our cards. It looks like just more casually.
It turned out really good.
I think I probably wouldn't have liked the bright. Now that I'm like really like kind of looking at it, because I mean, end of the day, on an order token, all that really matters is is it the same thing on the back as the others, and do the inside show the picture?
Well, and I mean, not to go off on a tangent, but this is a great topic. This is things that people always get wrong in printing and stuff, too, is, I mean, you work at a paper mill, so you know about this as well. But like, basically, what you see on the screen is generally going to be brighter than what you're going to get in person, especially depending on their color process and how they do things. And so I knew we were going to get a little loss on the color. I didn't expect it to be as muted, but I'm completely fine with it. And they look beautiful, and they turned out way better than you know, this was our first time dealing with order tokens. This is my first time dealing with this company that we ordered them from. And so they turned out way better than I had any right of expecting. So,
no, yeah, they're real legit. We've talked about making them forever. And I've always been like, yeah, you know, one day. And then actually seeing those like makes it official, right? Like that we actually have order tokens made for us.
Yeah. And the order token bags too.
Yeah.
And all the pack of all art cards. And I mean, it's going to be, just that alone is going to be your entry in.
Yep.
And then not to mention all the other prize support that we have that we've been announcing and still have to now announce a few more things. But yeah, I think it's going to be, you'll make your money just showing up.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
And then, you know, hopefully you're going to have a great time. And then also what we're going to do is if you are going or if you're thinking about going, depending on how many people we get will depend on how many rounds we do on the second day. But also, if you look at the schedule, we have an 8 o'clock meet and greet. So I'm still working that out, but basically we're going to try to get together at a restaurant or a bar around 8 o'clock Saturday night. And you guys can come out and kind of hang with us and talk to us. We'll be there. The Scoundrels will be there. And so, you know, if you have any questions or you just want to come get a beer or something, we're all going to be hanging out and we'll have a location. You know,
yeah, we'll post up what we're doing. We'll be heading somewhere in October, right?
Will we? Yeah.
Kappa Cup.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So we're officially sponsoring the Legion part of Kappa Cup.
Yep, that's the event Sunday.
Yep. Yeah. And so I believe we're going to be going down.
Yeah. I know I'll definitely, I got to buy, so I got to get one of their tickets because I want to do, they have great swag too.
Yeah.
But I want to play X-Wing Saturday if we're going to go down.
Yep.
I'll play some X-Wing and then Sunday we'll do some streams of Legion.
Yeah, so if you're from the Pennsylvania area or surrounding area, check out Kappa Cup. We will be there in one form or another. We'll definitely have a table there and be meeting with people. And I believe we're going to try to stream, but I haven't locked that down yet. But.
Yeah, it's, you know, so, you know, streaming's a commitment. Not that we don't want to. It's just, man, do we have the time, space? Are we prepared?
Yeah.
It's a lot. Like every time we do it and we think we're ready. It, you know, there's always like last minute, we're like,
right, internet, like what's going on? Yeah, yeah, like it's crazy.
Oh, the blue screen isn't blue enough. Yeah. We can see the hands, you know. But no, that's our next big event. Mm-hmm. We'll be at Nova in one way or another, even if we're just hanging out. I think that's, are we going to be at Gen Con?
I am not going to Gen Con.
No. Okay. Are we going to be at anything else?
Not in the near future that I know of.
Okay, because we won't be at Origins, because that's I went last year. Origins is a blast. I went last year. Nothing official for anything FFG that I play. So I only really go to these big events. So I go to play these events. And also as an excuse, I can like go to this con and say, hey, I went to you know X, Y, and Z. But if they don't have a primary reason for me to go, it's hard for me to convince myself to like spend the money, make the time, take the time off from work just to... Because you go and you spend money, right? These aren't like, there's no Red Cross on these doors, right? You know, it's not you go in and it's just, oh, free everything. So
you
go there to spend money on new cool stuff.
Well, and two, you know, like I think for everybody, but especially for us up here, up north, is summer is a big deal.
Yeah. Oh, we don't get much of it.
And so, you know, like just from a personal perspective, most of us have like projects going on during the summer, so it's like... So with Nova and Gen Con, there's like a bunch of events in the next 2 months that I think I will be skipping just because I got other stuff going on. And they're the way the circuit is now, they're not as an important event. No offense. They're great events. Don't get me wrong. They're just not as important as they were last year where they were like nationals invites, where now everything's a world invite. So they just give out more at these events. Yeah.
I might try to go to Gen Con just because I'd like to get the stuff early if they release it. Normally FFG or any company does big releases at Gen Con, and Nova is like the weekend or the weekend after, and you get to hear about it. You don't get to get it. They're like, oh, well, we did this at this other convention. Oh, do you have any here? No. Okay. All right, Well, it's in the case. You can look at it.
That's not a bad drive either. I drove to Gen Con a couple of years ago. It's a little farther than Chicago, I believe.
Oh, a little farther?
Or no, closer. I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm like, oh, geez.
Sorry, I'm thinking of something else. No, it's 14 like hours. 4 hours short of Chicago, maybe, or something.
Oh, that's 10. I
think
not bad.
I think it's it was like around.
Honestly,
that
drive
10.
To Quebec wasn't really that bad.
No,
I mean that was 5 from your house.
Yeah,
5 or so, but that wasn't like. I thought it was going to be way worse, but I only, till that like last 45 minutes was I like, all right, man, I got to.
Yeah, it wasn't too terrible. It was highway all the way, you know, and it's the same to Indianapolis. It's highway the whole way. So it's easy. So that's that. Register for Northeast Open. That's.
Yep.
Right.
Please.
Yeah. So a couple weeks left until that, July 6th and 7th. Let's see. We got. Yeah, and then all right, so I guess let's just get into the meat of this episode, Evan.
All right.
What do you got, buddy?
So the word on everyone's lips is delays. Delays, delays, delays.
Not to toot my own horn here, but beep beep. MFers. I had wrote a post on our blog about a month ago now, talking about the tariffs and how I really, my focus of the blog was that it was going to jack up the price.
Yeah.
And for those of you that are wondering about delays and just like obscurely hearing tariffs, 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 here's what's going on. Because the tariffs are going to be going through in the next couple weeks, what happens is that all the port authorities, they have to get ready for that. So they, it's not like this like not everything's computer systems, right? Yep. So it's not like, boop, it's on. Yeah, we're ready for the new tariffs.
Yeah.
That's not really how it works.
Yeah.
There's a lot of paperwork and illegal stuff and coding and all this stuff. So what's happening is while they're updating all their systems and getting prepared for this, things are getting delayed coming in.
Yep.
And so they're putting holds on certain things, or they're putting their time towards other things so that they're not getting things through custom as quickly. And my guess is that's why, if you look, everyone else in the world has the down ATST except for us.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of speculation. I've heard a lot of rumors about why this didn't show up, why that's not showing up. But I assume you're more than likely correct, mm-hmm. right? Something happened with that. Because I know there's a big buzz in X-Wing that like Australia got everything. And they're a very competitive area for that game. And so they got all these ships. And, you know, there's no points. So you can't even use them.
Right.
Because all the points are in the app for 2.0 balancing, yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
And they got the downed ATSD, which is, you know, people say, it's just for whatever play. But that's still something. Like, I would like to.
Right.
It would be great if I could bring the downed ATSD to the comic shop, and then instead of just saying like, let's just play Legion and play like a, just do that, like it's fun, who cares, right? Because one person normally plays Imperial, I carry a couple armies on me, so I could switch whatever they wanted. I would like to have that, right? So it's there's an issue right now where no points are out for X-Wing, and so people who are buying a product can't actually use the product, right?
Right.
Because you don't know how to actually
They don't know what it right how to build the list with.
And there's a discussion going on. You know, all because America didn't get it, they should at least, like, there's no reason I couldn't release points for this, for the rest of everybody, right? So they could at least use it. And I understand that as a consumer. I mean, man, I'd be mad if I'm like, oh, my new droid bomber's out, and I buy them, and I'm on the app, and I'm like, where is it? You know, like.
Dude, 100%.
It'd be like if things in Legion didn't, like, if Bossk and Sabine came out, but they didn't have point costs on them. So they're like, well, they're out. And you can paint them and do whatever you want with them, but you can't actually put them on the table because we don't know how much they cost.
Well, and as someone who works and has worked at international companies that are headquartered in the U.S., I mean, that happens more often than I care to admit. Like, there's a whole world out there, right? But like, when I'm guessing that a majority of their dollars that they earn off of their product is U.S. based.
Yeah.
And so,
For sure.
Everything is centered around the U.S. and it's an unfortunate byproduct of not being internationally focused.
Yeah. You know, in Legion, we're lucky because we're getting Bossk and Sabine the 25th.
I think 28th
is like kind of a hard soft confirm.
Yeah.
And those have the numbers printed on the cards. Right, like it's still an older way of doing it, but they've got that way. So you don't put the box, put the card down, and be like, cool, let's play right now.
Yep.
But for X-Wing, it's not till July 11th. So it's been like, it's a month and a half.
Right.
It's a month, not even from today, right, that they get this thing that's like a dead weight, more or less. You know, like they can't like actually use it. So it's a bummer.
It's funny. The odd thing I found, and I get why, technically speaking, and from the business perspective, but like, the fact that Sabine and Bossk aren't available for Worlds, for the world contenders, is super strange. And I get, it's different departments.
No, sure.
You're right. And OP, that's organized play, they probably have no sway over demand and product, right? And they're two different departments, I guarantee it. But you would think that from maybe the marketing department or the PR department, which is usually the department that bridges gaps at these big companies, marketing's usually and product management are the two that are usually like talking to everybody and like trying to make sure like all this stuff is in line. I just think that was a huge misstep, is that, you know, as a product manager, I would think that you would want your product to have the biggest splash and the biggest debut that it could potentially have. You have Worlds coming up in your facility, and why would you not have that available for them?
Right. So that's
even just make like a special,
like,
hey, Bossk and Sabine won't be available till the next week for everybody.
Yeah.
But we got plenty of, you know, that they have, because there's, here's a little, we're just wandering here down conversation. So a little behind the curtain of product. So you go through iterations, right? And so you have prototype stage, then you have the near production stage, and then you have production stage, right?
Yeah.
So I can guarantee that they have at least 10 to 20 samples of Sabine and Bosque that they have in the office to make quality control, yep, to take a look at the sculpts, to take a look at the prints, sure, you know, all this stuff. And they could absolutely have given those to the world attendees and been like, hey, listen, Sabine and Bosque aren't going to be available to the world until the 28th, but because you are the top eight, we will make these available to you. They're legal for you. You will have a model. We'll ship you a model that you can paint, or it'll be available, yeah, here painted. Yeah.
It's rough, right? Because that'd be the super cool, yep, thing to do. On the other end, it's like, well, that's super limited to those people. But yeah, they earned that spot. This isn't like they were pulled out of a hat and being like, hey, guy down the street.
Right, right. It's not random.
Yeah,
they,
yeah,
earned it.
Yeah. So it's...
They're the eight best players. Well, I'm putting worlds in quotation marks, yeah, right now.
And at least North America.
But they're the eight best players in North America, yep, and some of the world because some of people traveled. So,
yeah, yeah. It's... No, it's a shame because, you know, like, you're right. You know, you had some, right? Just a,
yeah,
or even just like, hey, you made it to Worlds. Here's a model, right? Like,
it's interesting. And I listen, there's two perspectives to this, and I get it. Like, the first perspective is they're a business, right? Yep. And I usually take that corner where I'm, yep, like, we're a business. We're going to make money. This is how we make money. This is how you don't make money.
Yep.
But at the same time, most businesses make exceptions for, or make, maybe exceptions is the wrong word, make strides to reach out to their customers and provide stellar customer service.
Sure.
And I just, they haven't really, they don't strike me as a company from the top down that is like, you know what's going to be our thing? Customer service. You know, I mean, there's rumors of now that Asmodee, however, yeah, you want to pronounce it, now that they've taken over, we were talking about this over dinner just, yeah, a few minutes ago, that like the reps got changed out. So Fantasy Flight doesn't, yep, have reps anymore. They're Asmodee reps, and they're not calling back stores that put tons of money into Keyforge or Legion or X-Wing, and they're not getting any calls back.
Yeah, we've had... This isn't just us making that up either.
Right? Multiple sources.
Around the area, our, yep, local stores aren't getting anything back from their Asmodee rep. At one of our local stores, he had, because they changed the whole process. Normally, you just, yep, send to the FFG rep, you're like, hey, he'd send an email, like, hey, any kits that come out for X-Wing or Legion, I'm in.
You, yep, know,
charge me, you send them to me.
Right, add them onto my account,
yep,
balance for the...
They don't do that anymore, so we missed out on a bunch, yep, of kits, and he didn't know. And it, you know, like I went to him and I'm like, hey, why don't we have a, you know, X, Y, and Z for WJX games, right? And he's like, oh, I sent out the email, but I didn't get anything. And I'm like, okay, so I had to dig, and I found the link to get a hyperspace trial kit, which is like an X Wing regional.
Yeah.
And so I sent it to him. And besides the fact that you can't fit 64 people in that store, and there's a couple other whatevers, but like you didn't used to have to do that. You just like sent them an email and the FFG guy would take care of it, right? Like,
yeah, and listen, I get streamlining. I, yeah, do. I really get it.
No, sure.
But how they're doing it is so backwards and just like counterproductive.
Maybe they're just in like a transition right now.
It seems. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
And sometimes that happens. Like sometimes even large corporations, like, you know, some guy in this one department has an idea of how we're going to move things forward. And his boss is like, you know what, Bob, that's a great idea. Why don't we go ahead and implement that by the end of the week? And then you don't really disseminate that knowledge onto the rest of the company, yeah, and B, your customers. You just expect someone else to do that. Let's, yeah, say marketing or PR, you know, and it's so it just seems like it's just my perspective. And this is based on zero internal knowledge of how FFG works.
Sure.
This is just me making assumptions based on what I'm seeing. Is that, yes, I think the transition from FFG to Asmodee has been very bad, and that they are struggling internally.
Yeah, it's just so, right, like, I know I keep harping on X-Wing, but Legion has only been out a year. So back when they first announced how the the tournament structure for X-Wing was going to be. They had all these names like Hyperspace Championship, Hyperspace Trial, yeah. and nobody knew what was going on. Like they used all these kind of goofy terms, which sounded cool, but they didn't mean anything. And then like 3 months later, they retconned all that and like, no, this is champion level. This is this, this is this, this is this. And there's been a lot of flux going on back and forth. And, you know, change is necessary. And sometimes an idea comes out they think's real good and turns out not so good. But like as a guy who, you know, you and I, we keep our ear pretty close to the ground and all this, like, and even I, someone's like, what's a hyperspace trial? For some reason, I'm like, I don't know. Like, I guess it's a regional, like,
yeah,
like a rally point. When they said, what's a rally point? You know, I only know because I really care, right? Like I really pay attention to it. So I'm like, oh, they're like the new regional.
Yeah.
Used to be.
Well, like, yeah, it's so, well, actually rally points and Legion are like what not nationals, but yeah, the regionals.
Yeah, they're the regional. Right? Yeah, that's about as close you're going to get.
Yeah. And so like, yeah, it's so strange because it's like, here's what's the strangest to me is from an OP's perspective, like, okay, you fly out and we talked to LJ whenever, I forgot what episode that was, last episode maybe. And we talked to him and like basically he's putting on LVO, large event, right? Two, 3 days. They're going to have, they got 64 guaranteed now and they're working their way up to 128 on a wait list. So they may have 128 people at That's this tournament. Crazy. Okay. You go to 128 person tournament. There's two invites to Worlds.
Oh, that's it. Oh, no.
It's the same invite that I already have from my RPQ.
Yeah.
The only thing that is potentially different, and we don't even actually know, but the only thing that could potentially be different is that they'll pay for your travel to Adepticon.
Yeah, maybe.
That's it. That's the big difference.
Maybe if they get officially 128, maybe they'll send them a couple more because two is so like if you're the top table, do you just go, hey man, you want to just scoop? We're both in.
Right.
Like I get there's strength of schedule and all that, but
yeah.
You know, that's such a gray area. Like I guess because you both did it.
The other thing is I like that it gives opportunities to everyone. See, I would have done it differently. Here, I'll break it down. This is how I would have done it differently. Okay.
Wrap it to me.
Use the same system they have now.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of RPQ to Worlds, RPQ to Nationals.
Okay. Okay.
Then a qualifier.
Yeah.
Then Worlds.
Okay.
So, because right now you're going to get 128 people in Worlds or more. I don't even know at this point, right? Because there's so many RPQs.
It's kind of nuts right now, right? So it went from 8 to
120 or so, right? Okay. So now you have all these people in Worlds and you, like, there's no progression. There's no...
It's either you're in or you're out.
Right. There's no getting better or like, okay, so no offense to anyone out there, but let's say you got an RPQ in a weak market. You don't actually know what your skill level is.
Yeah.
You just won the local 10-man tournament at your local store.
Yep.
And now you're going to Worlds where at least I would say 30 to 40 are going to be high level.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer, right? Like, because anytime I go to a big event for a game like Legion or X-Wing, I get like a reality check.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm amazing. I'll never, ever, ever be the first one to say I'm good at any of these games. I just enjoy playing them competitively, and then I hate losing more than I like winning sometimes. Anyway, it's a whole slide down that chute. But when you go to these big events and you see like the meta, for example, like in X-Wing, I play these lists and no one in my area really plays what's considered quote unquote the good stuff.
Yeah.
So the first time I run to it, unless I watch tape videos on YouTube of people playing, I have no idea what to even do. Right. And then I get just squashed and then I'm like, whoa, like that's
a perfect example. Yeah.
Blew me away.
Like, I don't know a ton about X-Wing. I'm learning now, you know, I'm starting to pick stuff up, but we went to the Alpha Condor and watch those guys play, and they're just on a different level, my man.
Yeah, they were not fooling.
No, and then watching, you know, even myself, like, I'm just getting into it, so I got a funny list, I mean, it's fine list, but I don't think it's an ultra competitive list.
No.
But it's good enough for locally.
Good gatekeeper.
Gatekeeper list. And I'm sure I'll do fine if I start doing tournaments and stuff, like maybe middle of the pack to start. Yeah. And then if I'm lucky, you know, I'll get some wins. But like, I don't expect to be good with that. But it's just the difference between. Okay, so for example, at our RPQ, there was no meta list there.
Oh, no, it was all over the place.
Mine was the closest to meta. Yeah, and maybe Nick's. Nick's was a few, like Jin isn't really meta, but like there's a few, but I was the only one playing close to meta, and even my list wasn't meta.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't Boba, Veers. Not that I think there's a meta in Legion. Let me reverse. No, there's just proven.
Better stuff.
Right. Good proven stuff versus experimental. Thing, right?
Yeah.
And actually the Scoundrels had a great point on their cast yesterday because like none of us knew what medics were gonna do until Garnanana and Luke Cook started putting medics and healing their snipers.
Yep.
And then now we're all like, oh my God, let's get them medics going, you know? And so there really isn't a meta, but what I'm saying is like everybody was playing crazy lists at our RPQ. And so that's not a true indication of what I'm going to see at Worlds.
No, yeah. I was expecting you to see a lot of like, well, no, Worlds for us is next year. So who knows at this point? Like, literally, who knows?
Well, I mean, it could potentially include clones and droids.
Yeah.
Well, it can.
Yeah.
Hold on, let me back that up. They will be legal for Worlds.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they will be good for Worlds.
Yeah, you just won't have enough stuff. Like, it's not, it's the same thing they're having with X-Wing right now. Like, new factions, they just don't have enough to really be, find their niche. But no, that's a real interesting point. Because anything you win now, any list you're playing will, like, 99% not be the same list by the time Worlds comes around.
And I don't know if I don't think that's indicative of it being bad. I just think it's we change and we start doing new things.
Right, well, it's a year away.
Right, you know, like it's, well, okay, so for example, here's some lists that don't do well that were very good, like Veer's Triple Bikes.
Yep. That ruled the world for a little while.
Yeah, it could come back, but snipers decimate Triple Bikes.
Feels bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like bikes, but the snipers, they just don't have a place.
And so, you know, if you start seeing more lists that don't have snipers, you might have a chance. But okay, but here's another list that is still very viable: Wonder Twins. That is still a good. Great list.
Yeah.
Now with you replace ATRTs with snipers, but it's it's a similar-ish list. But like, so I think there's definitely progression and evolution, but you start to see like the ATSTs coming back now with the pilots.
Yep.
The tank is viable. Like there's different stuff. I just made a point last week on our blog about maybe it's time for the T-47 to come back too. Like I think there's a chance, you know? So it's just so hard to tell what is going to do well at Worlds next year.
Yeah. Again, like, by that time, the clones and droids could be out, and maybe they just push out a bunch of product pretty quick. Maybe we're, they just do like boom, 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 and then you've got pretty decent looking army. Like, dude, honestly, with droids, they throw out a droid tank, the hover tank, right? They throw that out. They throw out, like, Droidica's already out, heavy super battle droids, and that's probably fine. Like, I don't know I don't know the cards or anything, but just as a swath of stuff, like, you got Uncle Greavy, you got your standard core guys, they all can move and shoot in kind of a row. You've got your heavy artillery, and you've got a couple like guys who can bully guys.
Right.
Okay. Like, maybe it's like, again, like, that's what's cool though, is it's literally like we're kind of all in a waiting room right now until the factions come out. It's cool and it sucks.
Yeah, and I think you're gonna see
at the same time anyway.
Yeah, agreed. And I think with this game versus maybe Warhammer, I guess, or War Machine. I don't know enough about War Machine, but versus Warhammer and maybe War Machine is that, like, I think you're going to see, a lot more cool lists. Like, even at High Command, yes, there was a couple quote unquote metas of Veers, Boba, snipers. Okay. But there's also Lupo who's triple Sabs.
Yeah.
Like what? Like what? Where did that come from? Yeah. You know, then there's like R1 who had, he got in with Palpatine.
Yeah.
Like, so, I mean, there's also, there's opportunity. I don't think any one unit is off the table, right? Currently as it stands. So if you're going to an RPQ in the next month, barring if Sabine and Bossk don't make it out, but if they do, there's no unit you couldn't put on the board right now that couldn't in one way be viable, except for maybe speeder bikes.
Yeah, and the worst part is, like, I bought a ton of speeder bikes. I got three of them, right?
Dude, yeah,
me too. Because I think they just look cool. And I keep playing with, like, so I'm building lists. I've been trying to make Wookiees work. But I don't think one's enough. I think you got to double two groups of Wookiees with bowcasters would be real mean. But I'm like, well, geez, that's, like, almost a tank, right? That's more than a tank.
I have a controversial statement I'm about to make.
Hit it.
I think speeder bikes are the new T-47. I think the T-47 has surpassed them in the current state of the game.
That's a hot
Here's
take.
Why. Here's why. You have to run three to be viable. They die so quick to snipers now. They're hard to run.
Okay, I'll say I'm
And
gonna...
they don't have an upgrade out right now that makes them better.
Correct, because they were already pretty good. So I'll counterpoint and say they have a high skill floor and skill ceiling.
Yeah.
So if they're tough to use because, man, you want to go in with them, right? Compulsory three, speed three, so you can move, aim, shoot, or move, shoot, or move, right? And then you can just go with them. So you always feel like you got to, like, outflank and rush. But there's no – besides vehicles, there's no arc. So you flank some troops. They go, oh, we'll just shoot at the guys behind us, yeah. Right? Or me, I don't know.
So here's the thing I'm saying. Because with snipers – snipers reduce their cover one.
Yep.
Plus they have pierce.
Yep.
And okay, you got six wounds, sure, with one unit. Mm-hmm. Okay. But they're already weakened and they're hard to hide behind a line of sight.
Yep.
So by the time you get up to them, you're already gotten four or five wounds by the time you get to snipers, maybe more.
Yeah.
Because you got to get through the other lines of stuff, even if you go all the way around, but now you're wasting all that time. Where I would argue, for a similar, actually, okay, minimum you have to run two bikes, I feel. So that's 180 points.
Yep.
Okay, that's an air speeder. And the air speeder is stronger. It has armor, so you can't, to get a sniper shot, you got to fish for crits. Uh-huh. So, you know what I mean? That's my argument I'm making.
I will disagree. The bikes get to shoot twice. You have two bikes.
Well, they have two bikes, once. But it's still one.
I'm saying like two, if you're going to compare one snow speeder to two sets
still,
of bikes.
It's the same dice pool, though.
It's the same dice pool.
Actually, it's a weaker dice pool and for the speed for
Yeah,
because
I searched to hit, right?
Right. But they have white dice, right?
Yeah, we both do. So we both have the same. So all things considered.
T-47, I think, does not have white dice. It is black and red.
Oh, for attack dice, yeah.
Yeah.
That's well, I mean.
But you don't have armor.
Bikes are rainbows, so they're white, black, red, but I surge, so.
Right.
Like.
Yeah, but you don't have armor.
I
so
sure
that
don't.
That protects the speeder, speeder.
When we first played, we just thought, when I was playing with Nick, we just thought any vehicle just had the armor keyword.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, wow, these speeders are amazing. Yeah. Okay, I will still staunchly disagree. I still think the bikes are better.
Are you disagreeing because the bad rep that the T-47s had, or because I'm gonna counterpoint
so
what you come up with as an answer. Can you run one unit
so
and be successful?
To be fair, I've never tried.
I have. It's awful.
Well, the problem with bikes is when you lose one, that damage output feels real bad.
Well,
when it goes
reducing,
down to just one, like one rainbow.
You're reducing your targets down to one, right? Where if you have two.
Well, let's take a quick look at the bike card. Is it a repulsor trooper or is it a repulsor vehicle?
No vehicle. It's not trooper, I don't believe.
We're doing some. It's been such a long time since I looked at the card. I have to physically open up not Tabletop Admiral. I mean, yeah, Tabletop Admiral. My God. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be building all these lists. Oh, it's already there. Oh, it's repulsor vehicle. Okay. Yeah. So let's see. If I was to play Breakthrough, I get 2 points to your one. Assuming we didn't, everything just kind of got there, right?
Because you'd have two units, you're saying, right?
I get to shoot twice because I've got two units.
Well, you get, no, well, you shoot once.
Once with each, two attack, so that's two attacks compared to one, right?
But same amount of dice?
Yes, but I surge.
Yep, that's fine. Okay. You surge, okay.
Yeah, I don't know what else to like.
Well, but
I think that's still pretty, those are pretty good.
Okay, but you have, so you have two white dice in your dice pool.
Yep, two white, two red,
so
two black.
So surge is the same, right? But your likelihood of hitting is less. You have two red, two black, and two white.
Yep.
Okay, so I hate mathematics for any of you who have listened to us for a while, but I'm going to use them because I want to prove my point, and whenever it works in my favor, I'll use it. But
oh, no. sure.
So with the air speeder, it's three red and three black.
Yes.
So same amount of dice, better odds of hitting. Even with your surge.
I don't know how much the surge affects. It's
one in six. Surge is one in six.
Correct. I don't know.
But red is
statistically adding them all together.
Red is significantly better than white.
Because you have two misses on your red die and I only have one.
What?
Well, you don't surge.
Yes. Correct. But you only have two potential hits on your white dice.
You can take vehicle damage. Your effective hit points are actually like six or seven, right?
Seven.
So what's your break point? Five?
Five.
So you really have five hit points.
Before something odd happened.
And thank God they errated it.
Right.
Because it used to be if you just flew a naked T-47, you got weapons disabled.
Okay, what's the impact on speeder bikes? Impact one?
Yep. So okay, impact
so
two.
Impact
when they shoot.
Two stacked. It's impact three.
Okay, you got a hit.
You have three red and three black.
I've seen these things shoot. I am not impressed.
Speeder two, which the way terrain is going, you're going to be able to get over stuff.
Okay.
With armor.
Yep.
You have the cover one, but I can add a pilot now to make it cover two.
So you're at.
So I'm significantly increasing the odds of being hit with my armor.
But then you're
and
going
cover
to
two.
185, right?
Yeah.
Roughly,
or 189.
Are you putting on a bat gun?
No.
No back gun.
I mean, you could. I wouldn't, but you could.
Maybe the buzzer. The harpoon's a meme, right?
The harpoon's nonsense.
It's a meme, yeah.
But the buzzer, sure. But so that's a 35 points, I think.
Yeah, it's a lot.
So you wouldn't add that on. That's nonsense.
I will give you that the speeder car, the X40, whatever.
X34
is better than bikes just about every way around. I don't think the speeder is. It's Arsenal 3. You can take a rocket launcher that shoots three... Oh, front arcs. Oh, I have guns I can shoot outside of arc.
Right. Yep.
So if that's I drive by a guy, I can throw... It's two black
two
dice,
black.
So
yep.
It's four.
It's four black dice.
I can four at a guy I shoot by.
Mm-hmm. That's a bonus for you.
You have Arsenal 2, but you'll never use
you'll
you're
never
paying
use
for
it.
Something you're never using.
You're never going to use it.
Yeah.
I
guess you can switch pilots.
I would
but,
say, okay, so I'll say this. I'll concede on your attack points, so your surge and your out of arc firing. Okay,
yep.
I concede on that. However, I think for you, the current way with Bossk coming out and with snipers and with the range now that's very heavy range,
and
the fact that tanks and ATSTs are making a push,
there's better vehicle choices.
Yeah, I think that speeder bikes are in the downslide on the defensive end.
They have the comms slot. I think that's it. The only upgrade they have. Maybe comms jammer when droids comes out makes them pretty safe.
Yeah, well, I would argue the same with the T-47.
Yeah, I just feel like if you got a if that wasn't a point where
so
a comms jammer was working, I think I'm in trouble with the T-47.
Yeah, and so you're 190 or 90, right? So 180 for two sets. I would argue you have to have two sets to have this argument.
Yep.
So you're at 180 versus 185. So I have minus five more points.
Asterisk, got it. Got it.
Right.
Bam.
With the pilot.
Yep.
So 5 points.
So you're like DLT proof? is really what it becomes because it's cover two.
Yeah.
Because they won't, they got to hit, they got to hit a crit.
One in, right?
Well, they got to hit a crit.
Well,
on you.
DLTs can impact.
Well, they don't impact if you don't get past cover.
Correct. Right.
So you're DLT proof unless they roll a crit.
Yep. We cover two. Yeah.
And neither of us care about terrain. Neither of us care about suppression.
The big thing is snipers, I think. I think that's going to be the turning the tackles. Most people are running at least two, if not three at this point. So if you run up against a three sniper list with speeder bikes, they're going to get eaten alive within, because they're going to reduce your cover. So it's just full hits. You have no armor. And they're going to pierce one.
Yeah, I would still say the same for the speeder, because if I don't have a decent troop shot, I would still shoot at the T-47 with a sniper.
Yeah, but you could only reduce, sure, but the likelihood,
crits, so I'm just dealing the damage.
Right, the likelihood is way different, though, because you have to, because you can only reduce my cover.
Yeah, I'm just looking for crits at that point. I'm not actually.
But what I'm saying is against speeder bikes, you're not looking for crits. You're looking for anything. You can hit. You can hit on both.
I guess I still think bikes are better overall. I would take those to any day, but I don't. It's a weird argument you brought up.
Disagree.
I have no idea why you're on this T-47 kick all of a sudden.
Because I think it's my Moby Dick. I'm bringing it. I'm bringing it back.
Please put one on the table when my ATST's around.
I will.
Please. Nothing bad will happen. I swear. It'll go great.
I think it's viable.
And Joust me, you coward.
The reason I'm bringing it up is because I wanted to have the conversation, because we crap on the T-47 and we have for a while, justifiably so.
I mean, the T-47 was still bad even when
in the beginning,
weren't out.
Sure, yeah. But what I'm saying is I think it now it is better than people are giving it credit for. And the reason that I just brought up speeder, we were talking about speeder bikes from the meta, and it just popped in my head that I think the T-47 is more viable than speeder bikes are right now.
I still disagree, but I'm not flying either, so I don't really have a horse in this race.
Depending on the list, I think a T-47 stands a better chance against your ATST, I think, for a number of reasons. One, the T-47 has armor, so the likelihood you may get...
I'm impact four, though, if you're at
range
three.
That's right.
Yeah.
But still... Okay.
Well, three plus light blaster.
Right. And it's got cover two. So you would still need to get past the cover two to get to the armor.
Yeah. Well, specifically, it's cover two with immune to blast and melee.
Yeah.
The blast is.
Blast is the big deal.
Yeah.
Right. So your guys aren't immune to blast, the speeder bikes. I'm saying they're your guys.
Oh, yeah.
Like
no, yeah.
Your, but okay.
Yeah.
So,
my boys.
So, okay. So
me and the boys
let's take the
speeding around the battlefield.
The ATST, for instance. I stand a better chance with a T-47 against an ATST than you do with speeder bikes. You can split your speeder bikes, right? So you wouldn't lose them all in one go, but there's a better chance you will lose a unit of speeder bikes in an ATST barrage than I will a T-47.
I mean, sure, the armor keyword really helps you out, but it's impact like three. So I'm getting three hits. Do you even surge on defense? I think you do.
Yeah, surge on defense,
dice,
not
so
on
like
offense.
Two out of six.
But if I sneak around you, I now have impact four.
You can use your harpoon on me.
Yeah.
Turn me around.
No, but if I, and I think there's ways to fly the T-47 that make it different that could stop you from doing what you're doing as a ATST. I'm just saying, I'm posing the argument, and now you have to think about it.
I still think you're wrong, but
I'm not.
Okay,
I'm so
well,
right.
Next, this Friday, you bring that T-47, and I will put my ATST down, and we will have an honorable joust.
Well, but I'm not saying it would beat your list. I'm saying it would be better a speeder bike's list.
That's, I guess against my ATST, probably. Yeah.
And snipers, because not just the ATST,
like, no,
you have snipers in that, too.
Yeah,
so against speeder bikes,
so
you're like pew pew.
So wait, are we saying my list specifically is good against speeder bikes? Because now this is changing a little bit.
No, I'm saying if you have an ATST,
sure,
that you're probably going to have snipers too. If you only have one ATST,
cheap.
Right. So I'm saying that list, whether it's yours or someone else's, an ATST list is going to demolish speeder bikes and would still beat a T-47, but it wouldn't be as easy. I don't think the T-47's as paper thin on defense as the speeder bikes are.
It is until it does get a weapon disabled or a...
Sure.
Like that. The problem is we're not factoring in the keywords for the armor breaking.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they can go from like you lose an action, which not too bad on a pulsar because you at least get a free move out of the deal. But weapons disabled cuts your dice in half.
Yeah.
Which feels real bad.
Sure.
You can almost like just ignore it at that point.
Yeah.
Like, geez, before the I could totally ignore it.
But we could totally factor this in too. Like, if you lose three wounds, you're down to three dice now.
Yep. No, I'm not saying wrong.
I'm just,
I have two groups.
Yeah.
And you take, if I take five wounds.
Yeah.
I still have three bikes on the field.
Potentially, yes. Right.
Yeah. So if I take four, you lose a lot of functionality, maybe, depending on how mean that dice is to you.
Yeah, absolutely. But the likelihood in that scenario of me taking five versus you taking five in one.
Oh, one shot?
One barrage is less likely.
Yeah, I guess so.
And you can get, and speeder bikes can get weakened on their way up to the attack point by snipers, by range four, DLTs, by Bosk, by, you know, a lot of stuff.
I mean, same could be said for a lot of that on the T-47, too. Like, armor isn't this god keyword anymore.
No, it isn't. But I think the cover, too, combined with armor, makes it a lot less.
I mean, like, cover, it's starting to, this kind of brings me to a point that kind of bothers me. Like,
good.
Everything's got sharpshooter one now, feels like. Anything good. It's like Bosk, Boba, most of the heroes have sharpshooter one. I mean, I don't know why. Krennic, I don't know why he's got sharpshooter one. In this movie, did he shoot a gun maybe once? I don't know. Like, maybe once, but.
I mean, he aimed it at some people.
Yeah, I get like it makes the unit a little bit more powerful, but it feels bad for those units that rely on that keyword. Like, you're paying for that keyword to have that, and they just say, nah, man, you don't get it. Like, I get like some of the characters, but to that point, like, I mean, like, he's got like sharpshooter two, what? You know, like, and she's better melee than Han? What? Like, she's a questionable character to me, just thematically. She's an awesome leader, but whatever. I don't want to get into that in that rabbit hole, but sharpshooter one just makes bikes real bad, but it also hurts the speeder, too, because they really, those two vehicles really relied, and they're paying for that keyword. Like, hey, I'm special. I have speeder one, two, and then I pay for the cover keyword, and then that unit just says, nah, man, you don't get it. And I'm like half the points, right? Like the snipers, especially, they're 44 points. Like that's.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm not arguing that they're great. I was just posing. I thought it was a fun little argument that I could put in front of you.
Jay will do this to me. Just put me on the spot on something like, I think Hubba Bubba is better than Bazooka Joe.
Well, I think the worst part about it is I just go hard into whatever I'm arguing, and I'll just,
usually you take me by surprise. Yeah, you're so staunch on it, I start questioning my argument. I'm like, no, that Hubba Bubba is not better than
Bazooka Joe. T-47, man. Power to the T-47. I think it's viable again.
Hey, man, you want to fly it. The problem is, it's a cool unit. It looks cool. Yes. It's thematic.
Yes.
Like, I don't disagree that I don't want it on the table. I want it on the table. I want to use it.
Yes.
But it feels real bad when that thing just lights up in flames.
Oh, agreed.
So I take it. So I took that mentality and I put an AT-ST on the table. One, because I think it brings people into the game. They see the
big deal. Yeah,
you know, we talked about this before. We're like, name things look cool. People come over and be like, hey, what's this?
That's my biggest argument.
Yeah.
One of my, so I have like a four-tiered argument for the T-47, and one of them is theme.
It just brings people to the table.
Yeah.
And when I make that Hoth list, I'm probably going to put a T-47 in there.
Yeah.
I think I've got Luke, Rebel veterans, probably the 1.4 cannons, or at least one just to have it there. So it looks cool, right? The whole point is just got to look cool. And a T-47 and some
and then one of those guys come out
the veterans
no the
oh yeah my tauntauns I really legit three tauntauns I'm in, man.
Oh, you know what we should do when those all come out, when you get the veterans and the tauntauns, we should build Hoth lists. So I'll take Vader Veers, Ewebs, snow troopers, and maybe an AT-ST if I have room.
Sure.
And then you take Luke. You could do Luke, Leia, Han. You could do any one of those Luke, Han.
I'm super surprised they didn't just release this at launch, like a lot of these units, to make it, because it was weird, right? So it's supposed to be Endor themed.
So I would say, I'll say this, I may or may not have promoted this idea. But my thought was, and I think you and I talked about this too, was what if you, I think this was what we were talking about. Like I was saying with Warhammer, they would have those army packs where you could just buy the box and it was a full army, right?
Yeah.
And so you could do the Hoth pack where it, Empire and Rebels separate, 800 points. So like, because my argument and our, I think we were talking about this on the way to Quebec, the argument is that how many times have you out there in podcast land, because I know what happens to Evan and I all the time, get somebody new who goes, well, what should I buy? Well, if you could just be like, buy that. And it's like the Hoth pack, and you could do alt sculpts for Vader and Veers. You could do alt sculpts for Han, Leia, and Luke as well. And you could just have these, you could have the Scarif pack. You could have the Endor pack. Like you can have these major battle packs.
FFG, this is money.
Right.
Do this. Seriously.
Dude, and people, like, I would pay for it again. And it's another way to like update cards. You could, you could add new scenarios. You could add, all your battle cards, your objective cards, your, all that stuff. You could put new ones in those boxes and release them in the separate pack.
I would do about 150. I think it'd be my high end for that. For a full army, that I could just say, I buy that and I get a couple, just like a couple, maybe like taste choices, like I want this gun instead of that gun, something like that. Or the different sculpts, like I want Han.
And they don't even have to be good.
No, yeah, they really don't. They just, because honestly, like, you know, we're talking about the downed ATSD, like, a lot of people play this game just for funsies, right? And that's cool. Like, that's some of the hobby to it. So to be able to buy, walk in the store, so you play a demo, you don't have a friend who can go two halves on your core sets so to get into the game officially, right?
Yeah.
You're like, man, what do I buy? And be like, do you like Hoth? Who doesn't like Hoth? Right? Like, that's kind of, especially for this era, right? That'd be like, I can't really name too many planets on the prequels, I guess. Kashyyyk is one they fought on. Naboo, right?
Yeah.
You do Naboo Royal Guard, right?
Sure.
Like versus the droids. Like that would be cool, right? Or
well, yeah, and I guess I'm just thinking of what we have right now. You know,
like, no, exactly. So I'm saying, like, so you could just go and say, hey, you can just buy the Rebel Army from Hoth. There you go.
Right, that's, or Scarif.
Or Scarif or something
like that. Right, with the Shore Troopers coming out, and you got Krennic, you got the Death
Troopers.
They
could just be like movie themes, right? Like, or the, so you got Jyn Pathfinders, some other troopers.
I mean, you could even,
I think this is just pure money. Like, because I would totally buy, if I could get a Hoth Luke.
Right.
Like,
And he's got his full suit on and a helmet and a lightsaber.
Yeah.
Or maybe
off the Tauntaun. The,
sure.
Like on Tauntaun, that'd be cool. Like commander on a vehicle, that'd be just neat, right? All the games do that. So no, that's, I know we're all over the place, but that's like a dream, because someone's gonna walk up to me, I can guarantee it, and go, wow, what's this? And I say Star Wars Legion. How do I get that Hoth army? And I have to say, well, you got to buy a core set and then three of these and one of these and two of these.
So speaking of Hoth, this is kind of in line, and I know we're all over the place today, but this is the episode for that. So remember, I forgot what episode it was, but a few episodes ago, you and I were talking and you're like, hey, I have a theory on the next, what potential unit is going to come out because of the picture on one of the cards, Ben.
Yeah.
I have one.
Okay.
So the Viper Scout droids. Because it's on the command card.
Yeah.
So speaking of Hoth, I was like, and then I was thinking about in Solo, you actually saw them attack more during the train heist part.
Yeah.
I bet you those are going to be out. And I bet you they're going to be like comparable to like the E-Web slot, the support slot.
Yeah, that's cool. Like they could do something, like they could have recon, right? Cause that's kind of their deal. Give them like nimble or something.
Maybe they're a specialist. I don't know. But
you know, it'd be better if they were a good specialist, because right now, the specialist Imperial slots either Death Troopers or Snipers.
Dude, and think about like the stuff you could add in there. Like they could have a communication slot, but maybe they
comms jammer would be great.
Yeah,
for it.
Maybe the built-in comms jammer. So like, you know, maybe they got built-in comms relay. I don't know, because they do the.
You could have like a spotter where it can hand them out over a longer range.
Yeah.
Like, as long as it's in range of them, they can hand out a spotter to, like, an aim token to somebody else because they see it.
Right, because they see it, yeah.
That'd be the easiest, without making up a whole lot of new rules, that'd probably be the easiest way just to say, like...
Anyways.
Yeah, no, that's...
Because they're on that one pip.
Card. Yeah. because I started cruising through those cards again, you know, to see what I missed. But like Old Man Ben, the speeder, because those are still the same era.
Yep.
Right. Just please release an Old Man Ben Darth Maul kit. Like make them make that happen. So I just want to play. Like, that's cool. That's super cool.
Well, and I feel like with Sabine, it seems like it would be odd if she was the only Rebels era piece.
Oh, there's got to be more. Like,
so I'm assuming
Rebels is money for them.
Right. And I'm assuming that with the Clone Wars, because there's just so many more.
It's just a million Jedi.
Like, Jedi and toys and Sith. Yeah. Like, you have 4 or 5 Sith, 6 Sith, if we're counting Clone Wars, the cartoon.
Dooku, yeah. Darth Maul was, right. He's not ICS, but he's an operative. Operative fits in pretty well.
Right.
Like, Palp and Sidious and Palp.
Ventress.
Yeah, Asajj. Yeah, that's.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Sorry.
I didn't hear you.
No, you're good.
That's
you're
my
good.
Fault. But yeah, Ed, so I'm thinking you're going to have to add more commander slash. I think you're going to have more force sensitive in the old era. And there's all these stories. And I would even argue that they're making a push even further into that with that new EA Games Jedi game coming out. Right? Like the.
Jedi Order?
Yeah, Fallen Order.
The Fallen Order, yeah.
Yeah, so what's the backstory is he's a kid that survived Order 66 and he's working with Saw Gerrera and like...
Yeah, yeah.
I mean...
Dude, for real, if you make him a character, like seem like Starkiller, I always want Starkiller anything in the game. Like, right. He's kind of a Mary Sue superhero, but...
Way just, overpowered.
Yeah, just, but, dude, but throw him in like one of those scenarios.
But they got... Ezra and they got Khan and they got this whoever
Kanan
this
would
kid
be cool,
Kanan, sorry, and they got whoever this kid's gonna be, like they've got other force sensitive people out. Ahsoka is still alive technically,
she's,
go off of Rebels,
she's alive at the end of
because they did the time spoilers, he did the time warpy thing and then she flew off with what's her name in a spaceship or whatever, so
she flew off with Sabine to go look for Ezra, right?
Yes, yeah.
And then Thrawn's still out there, too.
Right, Thrawn, right. I mean, geez. Like, I don't think they're going to slow down anytime
soon. No, the thing is, it's like, they've got so much content.
Yeah.
What do you choose? Right, like, you're like, how about we make this guy? But yeah, but this guy's cool. Like, it's almost the bucket of stuff is too much.
Yep.
Where, you know, we get something, and, like, Shore Troopers, some people are like, meh. Yeah, like I didn't like Rogue One. Or, you know, like, that's fine. I don't really care for this, but
you know
other
what?
People are really into it, right?
Like, alert. If you didn't like Rogue One, you didn't watch it.
Just hot. Another Jace Lansky
hot take. I think it's one of the best Star Wars movies that they've put out.
And then...
period.
We've got all the books, like Alphabet Squadron was released today on Audible. I got to actually start listening to that. There's just so much content that, you know, when they're talking about, like, sub-factions and Gungans and Geonosians and like at this point, like I'm happy I got in where I got in, like the ground floor. So it's like the same thing with Warhammer Underworld Shadespire. If you wanted to buy in competitively right now, you wanted every card, you're looking at like 480.
Right.
And people are like, wow, that's a lot. I'm like, it normally would be. I don't care because I bought it when it came out. And every 3 months I spent like $30 to get the new faction.
Right.
So $30 every 3 months wasn't bad to me because I almost got it in like a credit line, right? And then unfortunately, anybody coming in now has to do that. Where I'm hoping that doesn't those battle boxes we're talking about, like those theme kits, would be a really good way for someone to be like, "Hey, I want to get into this game. I just want to tell me what I have to buy just to play. Like, I want to play an 800 point game like you're doing. How do I play you right now?" And I go, that Hoth battle box. Just buy the Rebel or the Imperial, whatever you like." They buy it, boom, we put it together, and in like an hour, we're throwing dice, you know?
Yeah.
That's, I think we're going to get to a point where that kind of happens, where it's almost like somebody gets new to the game, it's like, where do I even start?
Yeah. Okay. So I think we're going to wrap it up there. I know there was other stuff we wanted to talk about, but oh well. I went on a bunch of tangents there. I apologize. But yeah, okay, so everybody sign up for Northeast Open at thefifthtrooper.com. Contact us if you have any thoughts on all that crazy stuff I just went off about, and Evan, if you want to support Evan in the fight for the speeder bikes, send us an email, and if you want to support me in the fight for the T-47, send Evan a direct message and tell him. No, I'm just kidding. Send us an email.
Slide into my DMs with some spear. Yeah,
let us know what your thoughts are on this. We'd love to hear from you. And, you know, as always, keep playing Legion, I guess. And we'll see you next. We'll talk to you next week.
Everyone, stay rad.
Join us next week for another edition of the Fifth Trooper Podcast.
This has been a Fifth Trooper production.